Hey guys, welcome to the WWE podcast. Thanks for joining me. I am live from the road. I'm literally traveling right now. So I'm hoping that the audio quality is good. If not, I do apologize. But I have to touch on WrestleMania. I gave my predictions. Most of them, I have to toot my own horn. I think I did a pretty good job. Obviously, we were all swerved by the Brock Lesnar retaining the Universal Championship and Roman Reigns losing. And before I get to any of the review, I would like to address something that WWE continuously, every single year, there is a post-Raw, post-SmackDown show after WrestleMania. They label and like to make a disclaimer like they're owning the fact of a rebellious, non-traditional crowd. They like to make it almost like they're okay with it, but letting all their sponsors and the rest of their audience know that whatever you hear tonight, disregard. It's non-traditional. These are our most passionate fans, and oh yeah, by the way, it's all in the name of fun. Guys, this podcast specifically, this episode is labeled explicit for a reason, because I cannot express my opinions on this without some colorful language. And I will say this about their labeling every year of the post-WrestleMania Raw and post-WrestleMania SmackDown shows, that when they talk about the non-traditional fans and how it's all in the name of fun, and they cheer people they normally boo and boo people they normally cheer, that is a whole load of bullshit by WWE and a cop-out and a cover for the failure of their product and creative to get over talent that fans feel don't belong where they are. And not everyone. Not every talent is going to be booed that are normally cheered and cheered that are normally booed. And the way they say it's all in the name of fun. It's just this passionate. Well, first of all, are you negating and telling the audience that their most passionate fan base, which you admittedly said was, their opinions don't matter? That's what you're telling the audience. And that you're trying to just say it's just in fun. They don't really mean what they say. That is such fucking bullshit. And I know I do not like to swear on my podcast. I really, really don't. But I don't know why everyone else hasn't made a bigger deal about this. Maybe they're not as psychotic as I am about it. I don't know. But it is such crap. I'm angered by and insulted by WWE when they try to label the fans after WrestleMania that spend their hard-earned money, that are the loyal fan base, a sample of, not all, a sample of the loyal, dedicated fan base that has made WWE what it is, to completely disregard their reactions on television to the rest of the audience watching, that what they say in here tonight is just the name of fun, it doesn't matter. That's such crap. It's coming from the mouth of Stephanie McMahon. I don't understand it, and I just wanted to give my heartfelt, honest opinion on it, because it's a pet peeve of mine every single year that WWE does to try to disregard the fans that are the most passionate that you say are, and that yet at the same time you tell them that it's just a name of fun. Are you fucking kidding me? Sorry, guys, for the profanity. I really, really don't like to do this to just get attention. It's how I feel. It's coming from the guts. So, with that being said, guys, let's get into WrestleMania. I'm going to try to hit as many points as I can. First thing that comes to mind, I'm going to get right to it. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And the swerve. And everybody. And Santino Marella, if you guys saw his Twitter feed, said that the disrespect by the fans at WrestleMania got swerved hard when Brock Lesnar won, and how the WrestleMania fans were being disrespectful. Oh, so, and I tweeted this directly to him, and I'm sure he read it, and I'm sure he cared, that We're just supposed to sit there, collectively we, I didn't actually go, like good little fans and accept the product that we paid money for and not vocalize our opinions. That's not being disrespectful. That is a reflection of failure on the part of WWE to get over whoever they are getting, trying to get over in that match. It is not in the name of fun. It is not just to it's the cool thing to do to boo Roman Reigns. No, this was an outright rejection of not just Roman Reigns, but the perception that Brock Lesnar was also leaving, and the main event that was perceived to be the main event a year ago and did come true of Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar happened. And with Brock Lesnar, we all thought was leaving. I admittedly thought he was leaving, and this was his last match for the foreseeable future, and he was on to UFC. The reaction that WWE got, I would actually put it at the level of Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20. It was the worst case scenario for WWE. And I loved it. I loved every second because it was a big middle finger to Vince McMahon over the last 4 years of trying to build Roman Reigns. And you could say that Roman Reigns has main evented the last four WrestleManias. And that's great. That's wonderful. He main evented the last four WrestleManias by force, not by the fans' choice, by the way. And he has been rejected at every single main event of WrestleMania. Every single one. Every step along the way, Roman Reigns has been rejected. It's not the cool fans. It's not the hardcore fans doing it. Listen night in and night out. It is on a consistent basis Roman Reigns being rejected by the fan base. Overall, the match quality I thought was good. I wasn't blown away. I thought it was physical. The blood I know what they were trying to do about the whole strategy of trying to get sympathy on Roman Reigns. He's the baby face. They're trying to get sympathy on Roman. The fans are going to suddenly go, wow, this guy's a badass. He's taking a lot of punishment. Guess what? It's not about just having good matches. It's not just about being able to take punishment and come back. Roman Reigns has an intangible quality that screams heel. Screams it. And he has been doomed from the start from a babyface push. I'm not going to give my opinion on him turning heel. You guys all know my opinion on that. I do not want to take a 30-minute rant on that. Just I will simply say they need to turn him heel. and so that is the abject failure of WWE. No one else failed but WWE. It's not disrespectful for the fans to voice their opinion if they do not like the product. They're not supposed to sit there on their hands, especially at WrestleMania, for those of people who have paid, in some cases, hundreds and thousands of dollars to be there for travel, for a hotel, for tickets, for food, for merchandise, and they can't voice their opinions. They're supposed to be respectful. Go fuck yourself, Santino. That's all I have to say about that. I'm sorry, guys, if I'm a little bit wired up today, and I apologize for the profanity. If there's children listening, I apologize. I probably should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of this because I'm fired up about this. And let me get to something that won't fire me up and make me cuss. And that is Charlotte and Asuka. Hats off to both women. Amazing match. You could have made the case that this could have been the main event of WrestleMania, and I didn't think I'd say that, but you could make the case that Asuka versus Charlotte could have made event at WrestleMania, in retrospect, of course. Great match. I'd say 4.5 out of 5 stars. I really enjoyed it that much. Charlotte beating Asuka, I did not see it coming, but I really thought it was the right move, because... And this is where creative is more intelligent than I am. Because how are you going to have Asuka just continue to run through the rest of the roster on a streak that is unprecedented? If you're going to end the streak, it's got to be on a big stage, bigger than even SummerSlam, and that only leaves WrestleMania. So they had to do it this year to stretch it out another year. I think would have been... I actually think Asuka, the crowd would have started to turn on her. And so I really enjoyed... The Charlotte Asuka match in so many aspects. Charlotte retaining was awesome. Obviously on SmackDown Live, Carmella cashed in. And that I also did not see coming, but I think a great move. It leads to a heel champion, which to me always leads to a better story. And now Charlotte has got her WrestleMania win. She can chase Carmella for the next couple of months. Obviously, the debut of the Iconics, which at first gave me a little bit of a flashback to Lay Cool. You know, you guys remember Michelle McCool and Layla? Yeah, that was awful. But the Iconics at first gave me a quick glimpse of that and then pulled back and identified their own personas. And I enjoyed it. I think they were good on the mic. They gave Charlotte a nice beatdown. And having Carmella cash in, nice. So I'm enjoying the SmackDown Women's division much more than I have pre-WrestleMania. The other positive is Shinsuke Nakamura. And while Roman Reigns will not be turned heel, somebody the fans do like in Shinsuke Nakamura, Vince McMahon turns him heel. Now, I am all for it, and I didn't think I would be. I would be a little bit careful, and what I mean by that is by WWE, when they had a promo with Renee Young on SmackDown Live, I had Shinsuke made me laugh out loud. I LOL'd, but actually LOL'd. And when Renee was drilling him for why he did what he did, he eventually said, speaking no English. That was hilarious. I actually laughed out loud hard. Good job. It's funny, but it shouldn't be if he's a heel. So I really enjoyed that. They could almost turn it, they're smart, they could turn that into a t-shirt. But the problem is he's heel. So maybe it gets something that's translated down the line when he is a babyface and carries over and hangs with him. I hope it does, because it was perfect. I know people are going to, oh, that's a stereotype. That's racist. Get over yourself. Don't be that sensitive in a fake, I shouldn't say fake, I'm a pro wrestling fan, in a produced environment, folks. Come on, let's not be that sensitive. I know everyone's hypersensitive these days, making sure everyone's has an equal opinion, and everyone's those are words I'm looking for, that everyone is identified. I don't know. No, there's a better word, but I can't put my finger on it. Represented. That's the word. That everybody's equally represented, all that crap and bullshit. And it is. It's bullshit. I'm sorry. That you have Shinsuke doing this as a heel, and he made me laugh for the first time as a heel, which is just, I don't know. So we'll see how it goes. I'm willing to give this a go. SmackDown is in need of heels, and we'll see what happens there. We also have the tag teams, and really not much to say. Kind of a disappointment. I personally thought the Bludgeon Brothers would win. I would put the belts and keep them with the belts for quite some time. And see how they do. They have been repackaged nicely since the Wyatt family fallout. So I thought that that was good as well. And then you have probably the best match on the card, inexplicably, really, which I thought would be maybe in the top five. But and that is Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Steph. This was very good in a match that I think most people were concerned about. Kurt Angle was visibly slower than his former years in WWE. There's no question about that. He was, I think, the low light, if that was one, of the match. He held his own. Clearly a shell of what he was in WWE years ago, which is a shame. I think he's just got a crap load of mileage on his body. I mean, there's no other way to put it. But he did his share. Ronda, I don't even need to tell you guys, Ronda was the star, the absolute star of the match, and put herself over leaps and bounds. It was awesome. I did not want to see her tap out Triple H, because guess what, guys? It's a mixed tag match, not an intergender match. So if it's a mixed tag match, you can only have women face the women and men face the men. So when Ronda was trying to tap out Triple H, I was thinking, how? You can't, because it's men versus men and women versus women. But that's neither here nor there, and I'm nitpicking. Ronda, when she picked up Triple H, that made me pop. I had a lot of moments. I was fully engaged in what Ronda was doing. She wasn't doing the, as Jim Cornette would say, flippity flops that a professional, quote, professional wrestler would do. She was doing MMA-style wrestling. And that's what you need. You cannot have Ronda Rousey coming in, the biggest MMA female star of all time, and have her start doing suplexes and arm bars in the traditional professional wrestling sense, not her MMA arm bar, and have her doing hammer locks and clotheslines and things that you would just see in a typical match. She is not the typical performer. So I loved the match. The tap out was great. Great job by Triple H and Stephanie. Loved, really, all around. I mean, I am critical of Stephanie and her on-air character burying everybody year, week after week, and having her have to wear heels so that she towers an imposing figure over everyone that she's in the ring with. And all of that still is true. But when it came to WrestleMania 34 on last Sunday, I got to give her props. I got to give Triple H props. Whoever was the agent or whoever was responsible for the layout of the match, props. Well done. Really loved it. And the goal here was on one thing and one thing only, and that is to get Ronda Rousey over. The crowd was behind her. It was a best case scenario. You had Ronda Rousey with the crowd behind her from the start, and the crowd stuck with her, and Ronda Rousey delivered. It wasn't a pity, good job for your first try type of applause. It was a well-deserved applause, and I'm excited for what the future holds for Ronda. I really am, so hats off there. Paige, I know this wasn't WrestleMania, but the next thing that pops in my mind is Paige retiring, and I think we all kind of saw this coming. Emotional, real feel for Paige after only 4 years of being in WWE has really, I think, as Stephanie McMahon would like to make herself the figurehead of the women's revolution, which is a whole load of crap. I think Paige was really the first wrestler. And by the way, if anybody, let me finish my thought. She was the first wrestler to really come through the NXT system that debuted on Raw and beat AJ Lee for the Divas Championship 4 years ago that started the trickling of the women's revolution. But when Paige said that she has loved being a rat, and she said performer, that made me cringe. Just say wrestler. My God, you're not a magician. You're not a performer on stage. Say you're a wrestler. It makes things much more authentic. Nonetheless, Paige, as the SmackDown general manager, was a nice touch. The first female general manager since probably Vicky Guerrero. And if I recall, the first retired female wrestler in SmackDown general manager history. Or even Raw history, WWE history. So I'm really excited to see the dynamic between Shane and Paige. And by the way, the in-ring return of Daniel Bryan, I thought was good. I was a bit underwhelmed, maybe because my expectations were through the roof. But overall, I thought it was a nice return for Daniel Bryan. I think that first one-on-one match at a pay-per-view is where he will shine. I'm looking forward, honestly, to the Superstar Shakeup. And why next week? Because if I see The Miz on the same brand as Daniel Bryan, I think that has the makings for one of the best feuds of the year. And I really mean that. Because you could stem this story all the way back to Talking Smack when The Miz went ape. You know what? I don't know why I'm censoring myself now. But when he went ape crazy on Daniel Bryan about knocking an opportunity, and he made this relevant, he's here day in, day out, and a very heartfelt a promo on Daniel Bryan a year or two ago on Talking Smack. That's the seeds that you want to plant and you want to put in the promo video. And the yes kicks, that the it kicks, as The Miz likes to use as in mimicking Daniel Bryan, there's a lot you could do there. Overall, I really enjoyed WrestleMania. I thought it was well done. And as I said before the event, that this could be one of the best WrestleManias since the Attitude Era. And I stick by that. I really think it was. Yes, the AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura match did not live up to the hype. I was concerned that it wouldn't. And I know people are like, well, why would they want to put on the best match to start? It's only down from there. But it's WrestleMania. WrestleMania 34. You don't know if you'll get the next chance to do this on a big stage. So I don't know why they would have held back purposefully. But I don't think that was the case. I think that they just simply didn't have enough time. And I think that
unfortunately, just the stars didn't align for them to have their five-star classic that all of us anticipated. Although I did say, not to toot my own horn again, but I did say that I thought it was, with hesitation, it was going to be a very good match. I said 4 stars. I'd give it 3. But not bad. So, guys, overall, I thought it was a very, very well-done show. No appearances by The Rock, no appearance by Stone Cold, but I'm not sad about that. I thought it was not needed. In the first time, WrestleMania didn't need that star power, and I'm not sad about it. So well done. Seth Rollins becoming Intercontinental Champion was a nice move. All of that, I think it was very well done. Who cares about the Andre the Giant? They can say that it means something. It doesn't, folks. It doesn't. So, all right, guys, that's all I got for now. I'm going to follow up later with some more thoughts later this week, maybe in the next couple of days. Everybody, enjoy your weekend. It's Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Please give me a rate and review on Apple Podcasts and follow me on Spreaker. It really, really does help me out. So until then, guys, take care. I'll talk to you next time.